Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good evening. You have a Dakota Lone Star here. I am back, folks, and excited to be back with you. Took about a month off, and it was a necessary reprieve on my end. So actually back with you now and absolutely feeling better. You know, I was actually reading the Washington Post Thursday edition, March 24th of 2016. And I had actually, I actually wanted to cover those things first, some of those articles first rather, and issues, and that particular issue, if you will. I am Dakota Lone Star. You can follow me on Twitter as DOC_OTA Lone Star. That's DOC_OTA Lone Star on Twitter. You can also follow me on Facebook as Dakota Lone Star, DAKOTA Lone Star. Also on the web at 40and28forever.com. That is 40and28forever.com. Okay, so anyway, I had planned on actually covering some other things, and we may get to those other articles this evening. That's going to depend largely upon the callers and where this trail takes me in terms of, God forbid I mention that, you know, I prayed this evening before going on the air. And in terms of this trail and this particular article that I need to cover more so than actually would want to be covering this evening. All right, so the guest call-in number tonight is 929-477-4090, as it always is. You can key that into your cell phones, and absolutely, you'll absolutely want to hit save, because we cover things that other news outlets do not, or that they cover, but very lopsided manner, if you will. All right, so I picked up today's newspaper, or the Washington Post for today, Tuesday, March 29th, flipping through the pages, and I ran up against an article entitled "Georgia Governor Vetoes Religious Liberties Legislation Criticized as Anti-Gay." All right. And the byline is "Conservatives Fault Decision as Bowing to Liberal Opposition" by Sandhya Somasekar. I believe is how she would pronounce it, Somasekar. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into this particular article, because there's so many things that I want to get to tonight, and I promise that we should be able to get to the Thursday edition of the Washington Post of last week, obviously, as the program, you know, kind of moves along or whatever, or progresses rather. Like I said, you can give me a call at any point tonight at 929-477-4090. If you have thoughts on anything at any particular point, please feel free to call in, because there are, at no other time in U.S. history, no other modern time, if you will, have things become quite so important as right now, in my opinion. And I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go ahead and jump right into this article by Sandhya Somasekar. All right. And anyway, she quoted Georgia Governor Nathan Deal, a Republican, Republican Georgia Governor Nathan Deal, as having said, "I do not think we have to discriminate against anyone to protect the faith-based community in Georgia, of which I and my family have been a part of for all of our lives." And, okay, so to protect, it hasn't worked out all that well. The faith-based community around the country has been attacked time and again, as was the case in in Idaho, I believe. No, Oregon. The Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industry awarded $60,000 to Laurel Bowman Crier and $75,000 in damages to Rachel Bowman Crier for their emotional suffering when Sweet Cakes owners Melissa and Aaron Klein refused to bake them a cake or bake a cake for the lesbian couple in 2013. So that's one. Then there was a Colorado case after that. And I really believe it's high time that Christians around the nation join forces, if you will, and bring a class action lawsuit against the United States government at various levels, even. And I'm going to get into why I believe that should be the case momentarily, but I wanted to touch on a couple of other things within the well, number one, I will backtrack momentarily and just say this. No body of law should be so quick to award any homosexual couple even a red cent, so to speak, if they aren't also willing to quickly become a part of the fray altogether, collectively speaking, and sue if Muslim bakeries, because you know damn well, and I'm going to just use that word once, and I'm going to do my best to keep things clean, so to speak. You know well, you know fully well that if the couple, said couple, Rachel Bowman Crier and Laurel Bowman Crier, were to have approached, and how would they have approached, knowingly approached, a Muslim bakery? Would they have? And if not, why not? And see, today we really don't need Congress any longer in terms of the law. We've reached a new age, and a new world order, if you will, has taken shape before our eyes in terms of liberal discourse and not using, what used to be an old standby in terms of Congress to create law. And that's another point that we can speak to this evening. Again, the call number or phone in number is 929-477-4090. But would they have approached a Muslim bakery, that couple, or the homosexual male couple in Colorado? Would they have approached a Muslim bakery? And if, in fact, in the final portion of the hearing, so to speak, or the when the decision or decisions are passed down in terms of dissents and consent and dissent and the highest court in the land, I like this 4-4 kind of thing, and I think it's important. It's an important portion of our tapestry as a nation that two bodies in one sense come together or battle it out, if you will, in order to achieve their desired end. So I like the 4-4 kind of thing. It forces Americans to actually be American instead of I was looking at this side yet related note, in terms of Emory University and chalk and being used on concrete, and chalk washes off rather easily. Any parent knows that. And so I guess it takes a village, right, to deal with chalk. So sticks, as I was raised, we used to love the saying, We used to absolutely adore "Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones, But Names Will Never Hurt Me," you know, and we give, instead of flipping people off back then, we would actually, you know, stick our fingers and our thumbs in our ears and portray, you know, the raspberry, the veritable raspberry back then, God forbid. And but we grew up, we've grown up much better position to lead, I think, than these baby cakes nowadays. All right, so number one, would homosexual couples extend the same grace that they extended to the Kleins or to the baker out in Colorado where Muslim bakers are concerned? And if not, why not? What do you think? 929-477-4090 is the call-in number. And that number again is 929-477-4090. Do you have thoughts on that? And like I said, who needs legislation if you're not going to visit a Muslim bakery? And at that point, isn't there, create, in a sense, the determinations of some of these judges, quote unquote, that are freak fluff cake mirror images of our inner onion, they've, in a sense, kind of danced around the Muslim bakery issue as well by not offering up within their, well, actually, if they're liberal judges, obviously, progressive Democrats by and large, socialists and communists, and actually quite close to Sharia governance as well, because then they sick their learners on you if you don't agree with them or you want to start a business that's opposed. And see, here's the thing, it was stated, I think, in the same article that 2/3 of Americans don't agree with businesses not serving homosexuals. So I find it hard to believe, impossible to believe even, that these people don't have an alternative largely available to them next to immediately, and oftentimes right around the corner, you know, in terms of city life. And there are plenty of people that would happily bake a cake for a homosexual couple. Now, here's where things even get more dicey, if you will. I want to go ahead and continue on in the article, and I want to go ahead and quote Chad Griffin for you, the president of the Human Rights Campaign. He said today, Governor Deal heard the voices of Georgians. Well, you know, liberals have this interesting way of saying the voices of Georgians. Just like on the cover of today's front page, it said U.S. Let me see if I can find the actual front page. It was interesting. U.S. excesses shooter's iPhone, right? Just like the U.S. Was interfering in, speak for yourselves. Unless you're walking around with a turd in your pants, speak for yourselves. Just like the U.S. interfered in Israeli elections. No, that was Barack Obama and his henchmen and probably Lois Lerner and anyone else willing that apple doesn't fall too far from our inner onion, right? So anyway, so this guy goes on to say that today Governor Deal heard the voices of Georgians, as if it were all Georgians, civil rights organizations, as well as the many leaders in the entertainment industry, and private sector who condemned this attack on the fundamental rights of LGBT people. Okay, now what this law was designed to do, based on this author, the author of this article, Sandhya Samasekar, said that if signed into law, the Georgia bill, and I'm quoting her here in the Washington Post, today's edition, if signed into law, the Georgia bill would have allowed pastors to opt out of performing same-sex weddings and would have given religious organizations the ability to refuse certain duties. Now, that word struck me. That was kind of like a red flag, you know, or actually a gay flag, the homosexual flag, if you will, that was used at the White House to light up the D.C. district after the decision was handed down by the Supreme Court as of late on gay marriage. Prior to Scalia's forfeiture, in one sense, sorry. So, so the word attack, right? So this Chad Griffin guy, I'm going to jump back to Griffin now. It's interesting because they said, who condemned this attack on the fundamental rights of LGBT people? What about the fundamental rights of pastors? And I was thinking about that a lot today, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be holding this program. But it really, really, really bothered me because even if businesses were scarce, incredibly scarce, which they aren't, even the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts have become inundated with this LGBT Ringling Brothers and Sisters circus and have, you know, here's the thing, you know, so allegedly, the National Football League and others, right, from this particular article, have taken a stand and talked about not playing Super Bowls within the state and so forth, or All-Star games would be carried out of state based on this particular article. These threats by the NBA and the NFL and here's what's interesting. So, if signed into law, the Georgia bill would have allowed pastors to opt out of performing same-sex weddings. Okay, so it wasn't signed into law. So, according to Governor Deal, having said the earlier quote from Governor Deal, right, will pastors now, individual pastors, mind you, individual pastors, and my thinking is, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a constitutional scholar by any means, but I would say that it offered more for the individual, and yes, we are a nation of individuals, however divided, or at any rate, when the individual is slighted, the founding fathers have been defrauded. And fraud has been foisted upon the founding fathers when one individual has been slighted. All right, so there is kind of a new world order taking shape, right? And it's not the Bushes, I don't think. Maybe they had the foresight to actually see that this was coming down the road. And the Bible predicts it, you know, that the in the end times that the Antichrist will be a lawless one. But if a pastor is not allowed to opt out of performing a same-sex wedding, then you're saying you've unequivocally stated at that point the LGBTQ community has unequivocally stated at that point that we have to or we must follow your Jesus as you define him. Look, here's the crux of the crossroads that we're at or that we stand at right now at this moment in U.S. history. I'm going to ask you, I've already asked a couple of really, really damning questions, I think, earlier in the program. One, would a homosexual couple be as inclined to approach a Muslim bakery and ask for a cake and a celebratory cake, right? And if not, why not? Okay, so two, I don't remember, and here's the interesting thing about liberals, man. We can't write our own movies as conservatives without, like, next to being crucified or documentaries or... Okay, here's the deal. I have a question for Chad Griffin and the LGBT community. And again, the call number is 929 877-477-4090. And maybe in a future program, I will try to get a hold of Chad Griffin and ask him, really just a couple of questions, handful tops. But, Mr. Griffin, my name is Dakota Lone Star. You are listening to Freedom Today and Cantankerous. I am the Cantankerous One. And here's my question for you, Mr. Griffin. How many cases are there across the nation right now? The United States of America, within the United States, let's just focus on the good old US of A right now, since we both, I presume, reside in the United States of America at this point. Mr. Griffin, how many Christian organizations are saying that you cannot start a gay church? You cannot construct a convention of people, which ends up oftentimes being a convention of groups, Eureka, convention of groups around the nation or even the international community, if you will. We've never said you can't start gay churches, but you just can't leave well enough alone. So Eureka, if you spend as much time attacking individuals and groups of individuals and organizations and conventions, like the Southern Baptist Convention or what have you, for just as an example, at any rate, Mr. Griffin. So number one, we haven't stated that you can't start gay churches. We haven't stated that you cannot start a gay scouting group. We haven't stated that you can't open up fluffball bakeries. We haven't stated on and on and on we could go. And for that matter, based on this particular article, 2 out of 3 Americans agree that businesses should serve the homosexual community in the United States of America. At what point, Mr. Griffin, this is just a follow-up question, at what point, Mr. Griffin, would you feel as though you've trampled on the rights, the constitutional rights of a Christian pastor, since he's not holding a gun to anyone's head, forcing them to listen to him on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, no pun intended, or forcing people to become members of his church, or of the Church of Jesus Christ? Well, I didn't just go there anyway. So what if Jesus is holy, and what if Jesus's original intention is Elohim? I believe he's Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are clearly demonstrated in the Jewish Pentateuch, if you will. Matter of fact, the first point in Genesis, the first time God is mentioned, the name is Elohim. And so why can't I, why is it wrong for me to imagine that God is as much against adultery, let's say, in a heterosexual setting as he is against homosexuality or murder? So that's my second point. So I'm calling you out, Chad Griffin, and I'm calling out the LGBT community for your duplicity. And so I'm issuing this, it's kind of a truth or dare moment in America. It should be, in order to be fair, the next homosexual company, the next homosexual couple should seek out a Muslim baker to determine whether or not the laws of the land are being applied consistently. Oh, that burns. Doesn't it feel the burn? All right, so there you have it. Eureka, you are in America. Need I remind you, you, Zendaya, the massacre, you are in America. We do not force people to not start organizations. So, all right, so I think I've, and I don't mind kicking a dead horse tonight. And I'll tell you why, because, look, the call number is 929-477-4090. And I'm going to get into a couple more things here. So I want to go back to the attack, the use of the word attack for a minute by Chad Griffin, an attack on the fundamental rights of the LGBT community, or LGBT people. What about their right to just walk out and walk around the corner and find another baker based on the 66% of people, which is an interesting number. I mean, I think that's probably an accurate figure, if you will. But, you know, to walk around the corner and just ask for cake and be like, oh, so cute. You know, like, oh. I mean, really? I mean, you can't turn on a fashion television program on the cable channel without it being led by, you know, a rather effeminate person that was born as a male and to each his own. That's great. And see, here's the cool thing. I don't have to watch it. I don't have to watch that stuff. There's like 1,000 or 2,000 other channels, depending on how much money I make and how much money I want to spend on cable. Down in Tampa, I'd have to look it up, but down in Tampa Bay, Florida, someone started a homosexual church down there, and you know, I can't say God bless them, because that would be like me saying Godspeed, right? But I can at least say that they were entrepreneurial enough to just stop being such whiny arse, good for nothing liberals, and just, You know, groupthink. You guys are really, really, really good at groupthink. The Washington Post is chock full of groupthink. The high schools in my area are parroting one another in terms of groupthink. And so why not groupthink your way into creating your own scouting groups and creating your own bakeries and creating your own? Otherwise, shut the hell up. If you're not willing to walk into a Muslim bakery, get the hell out of my country. This is just these years, and it's time for Christians to stand shoulder to shoulder and square our jaw, our collective jaw against you, and call you out for your duplicitous BS. All right. So, the word attack on the fundamental rights. You have a right to walk out. I wouldn't want, if I were a homosexual and someone didn't want to make me a cake, I would walk out. I'd tell them to go screw themselves, basically. I mean, that's the extent sometimes of my Christianity. And I guess it's fitting today, because I'm not willing to let this nation go down without a rough and tumble war of words. At the very least, right? So, or at most, depending on how afraid you are of chalk, sticks and stones and chalk may break my bones. You know, see, we gotta change. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Chalk doesn't fit. Chalk doesn't fit the little rhyme that we used to keep us safe. You know, that was our safe space. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And we grew up just fine. Patsies. All right, so the word attack. I mean, it's interesting how the English language is used today, right? What about the attack on the fundamental rights? See, it's interesting. Chad Griffin mentioned the fundamental rights of LGBT people. Okay, well, what about the fundamental rights of pastors that believe that God was holy? Oh, we can't go there, Mr. President. Oh, wait, I'm not the president. All right.
God, this country is just a joke. All right, so let's see where we're at here.
Move on quick and just touch on a couple of other portions of this particular article before morphing into a similar conversation from last Thursday's edition of the Washington Post. All right, here we go. Yeah, that word duties is kind of a red flag too, because is it our duty? I mean, because then you're, once again, you're defining Jesus by your standards. And God forbid we define Jesus, and I'll get into that in a little bit, by a couple of writers of the Washington Post last Thursday talked about, you know, being criminals, a common threat of criminality amongst those that are jihadists, right, before they got religion. And then that was the tipping point, I think, was the purpose of the particular article. But I'll get to that in just a minute. But all right, so let's see. Oh, and then it says that including charitable services, if doing so clashed with their religious beliefs, how about textual beliefs? Let's talk about that for a little bit. The textual beliefs. How about that? Rather than religious beliefs. So there's another example. Let's talk about textual citations. And if we really want to go into textual citations, I mean, it's interesting. I flipped on Fox News this morning, and the first thing I saw was there was a plane that was hijacked, evidently. And my assumption is that it took place in Egypt, because Egypt's official position was that it wasn't an act of terrorism. But I saw a guy, like, slip through a window, either out of the cockpit or next to a window near the cockpit's windows. And, you know, I didn't know that's how people got out of planes today. So, I mean, it must just be a fun thing, you know, kind of like the bounce parties, you know, like that these kids have. And, you know, there wasn't an air mattress there, and overly sized air mattress or anything. You know, this guy just kind of slips through the window, and then he's running off the tarmac, and Egypt says it wasn't an act of terror. But interestingly enough, doesn't the Quran state, correct me if I'm wrong, to strike fear in the heart, you know, or hearts of the infidel or infidels? I mean, that's silly me for thinking that terror is a synonym for fear. I mean, I just, you know, I'm from South Dakota. I couldn't be an expert where the English language is concerned without a degree at any rate, or without being paid. You know, if you're Eugene Robinson or up in Iowa, there's another guy anyway that I talked about in the last program. All right, so. They went on to say that faith-based organizations also would have been permitted to use their religious beliefs to govern hiring and firing decisions. Okay, so we can't have like-minded individuals? I mean, you know, and within organizations, isn't that kind of how things work? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, all right, so I want to look at the trend, and I talked about the trend. If the trend is such that 2 out of 3 Americans believe that homosexuals shouldn't be slighted by American business, collectively speaking, then the ability to find a church that preaches what you believe, or a business, or a popular television program, highly popular, madly popular television program, shouldn't be difficult, right? All right, enough said about that. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and jump over to, I think I'm going to leave that alone. I think I've covered that article, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. So look, you can give me a call at 929-477-4090 if you want to agree, or if you want to beat down or slap down or sticks and stones and chalk may break our bones today, according to Emory University staff. So I'm going to go ahead and jump over now to a Washington Post article, Thursday, March 24th. And this is the article. Now we're getting somewhere, right? After feeling the burn, the progressive Democrats feeling the burn from the beginning of my program, I'm going to go ahead and jump over because it's interesting that there's an article by Joby Warrick and Greg Miller of the Washington Post. Joby Warrick and Greg Miller, entitled "Common Thread Among Attackers: A Criminal Past." Right? So, wow, where did they find these guys? I mean, like, we're talking, is that Ivy League for you, enough for you? Common thread among attackers, a criminal past. Okay, well, so most of the time, you know, saints don't become sinners necessarily overnight. So anyway, gosh, takes a village to uphold the press in the United States, it appears as well. It does appear as well. So let's go ahead and look at this article for just a article. fartful article, if you will, by Joby Warrick and Greg Miller. All right, so they start out by saying one perpetrator of the latest Brussels attack Brussels act of savagery. So let's go ahead and look at this. This article starts out, one perpetrator was an automobile thief before he got religion. And so I had to stop there, and I was like, because we all know what happens to a person once they get religion, right? They become jihadists, whether Christian or otherwise. And here's the interesting thing. I wanted to throw this out there, but I think I'll wait. Nah, I'll go ahead and throw it out there now, and then I'll throw it out there again at the end of the program. I don't mind repeating myself. It'll be fun, loads of fun, actually, and all kinds of fun. Basically, if global warming, or what do they call it now? Anyway, let's just stick with global warming. If global warming is creating jihad, right, then shouldn't at the very least a small percentage of people in Africa, the Middle East, and Asia that are Christian, I would reckon that a small percentage of people of atheists and Christians and Buddhists and Sikhs, let's just look at Christianity and Islam for the sake of this particular argument. Wouldn't at least a small percentage of Christians be employing their efforts to attack other people or foist savagery upon the quote-unquote free world? It seems like that would kind of follow suit if global warming is in fact creating jihad, which is another load of crap about this. That is creating jihad. You know, there could be some things going on in the environment that are rather pressing. But, you know, you're talking to a conservative here who recycles everything but his avocado seeds. And I don't leave my water running. I didn't require a Super Bowl ad in terms of every drop matters, you know, that whole thing. And that's why a lot of people, you know, there'll probably be big numbers in terms of Independence Day resurgence this summer when the United Nations saves us from interstellar attack by aliens. The United Nations can't even wipe their own butt effectively, and they need to just move out. I mean, like, I wish they'd just take up shop elsewhere because they're such a joke. I mean, John Jaweed, and here's what's interesting. The president didn't know the difference between strafing runs and carpet bombing before becoming, I mean, a junior senator, at least not before becoming a junior senator. Strafing runs against, like, Jean Jaweed, as they were horseback and the satellites could ascertain that they were marauding on horseback after leaving a village and plundering and pillaging and raping and dismembering. And so when that group of marauding men was headed to the next village to strike fear into the hearts of the unbeliever in nearby towns, or neighboring communities. You know, you catch them on satellite, and you come in with some A-10s, and you run a couple strafing runs, and you know, their machetes and their lack of handguns, you know, like John Jaweed. They had some guns, yeah. But, you know, an A-10 round, and jiggly enough, would have pretty much done the job. And that wouldn't have been indiscriminate bombing, sir, inner onion. So you're trying to school us? Are you really trying to school conservatives on the differences between carpet bombing and strafing runs? you're a little slow. All right. So moving on to this article, others had convictions for burglary, drug dealing, larceny, and assault. Well, assault's pretty much a daily thing in terms of Sharia law where the women are concerned, but we won't go there because, after all, women are not scantily clad by and large in Sharia-ized metropolitan areas, right? So, all right. And then they go on to say, nearly to a person, all had been violent men long before they became foot soldiers for the hyper-violent Islamic State. As if they can't we run from, it runs from A to Z pretty much, right? You know, you've got Boko Haram that needs to be strafed. You have John Jaweed that should have been strafed before they displaced 300,000 or 400,000 people from Darfur that are quite a bit darker than me. So from Boko Haram to John Jaweed, Al-Qaeda, it runs all the way down into the Ys and the Zs and Zawaris. And, you know, why, if you are willing to give Islam a free pass, in terms of 10, you know, let's use a modest number of 10% of, proponents of Islam are sick. Sick enough to, as the Washington Post, I just, you know, slipping through the front page, or through the A section, and it talked about the mother of Satan being the bomb. And that's pretty fitting. Yeah. The devil came not except for to kill, steal, and destroy. So it's pretty fitting for the Washington Post to use the title in their paper, the Mother of Satan, in terms of the attack. And it's interesting because the Washington Post is like, attacks expose Belgian security gaps on the front cover of Thursday, March 24th. Attacks expose Belgian security gaps. Well, what about things that are out there plain to see on people's Facebook pages, but that's, so America could be behind Brussels. We could be. And actually we are behind Brussels because our president, who's so fond of quoting the Bible out of context, won't stand up, our inner onion won't stand up and just say, thou shalt not murder. Where is he on this issue? Pretty simple, thou shalt not murder. That's kind of a cold blood thing. We're not talking about self-defense. We're not even talking about a gangbanger, you know, protecting his territory and his family and his brothers. We're talking about, anyway, so this is just ridiculous. I mean, like, the verbiage and the swaddling euphemisms and just... Oh my God, these guys are just unhinged, like Chris Plant said, or states on a next hourly basis. They are, they're unhinged. And they just swoon over one another's writing, you know, and there were violent men long before they became foot soldiers for the hyper-violent
Islamic State. All right, so
anyway, what we should have done is carpet bombed a meeting of Al-Qaeda leaders when they were working on trying to figure out who their number one guy was going to be. Evidently, it was posted in newspapers that we knew where their meeting was going to be, so why not just take out a couple of buildings? Or, better yet, a strafing run would be kind of fitting in Palestine when they when their men, quote unquote, are passing around the body of a terrorist in the streets. So strafing run right down the street, just try not to, you know, not too much left and not too much right. Don't mess up their bakeries. Don't mess up their women and their children. Just take out their quote unquote men. All right. So let's see. So that really hit me. You know, once you get religion, you're just, after all, and again, getting back to that, once you get religion, I mean, anyone that can handle like second grade math knows that at 10%, one out of 10, right, individuals that adhere to the Quran, you know, that book that doesn't say to strike fear in the hearts of the unbelievers, which couldn't possibly be a synonym for terror, right? But, oh, God, God help, God save America. And again, I've met a couple of Muslims that I truly believe I wouldn't. Although it's interesting because there's one person I met that I'm not sure if she's an atheist and she has every right to be an atheist or a Muslim or a Sikh. God forbid she be a Sikh in America. But she said that Christians are crazy. So if in fact this minister that was at the shooting on Capitol Hill or at Capitol Hill yesterday that took place was carried out by a quote unquote Christian, let's assume he was. All right, and let's go back to Timothy McVeigh. So you get the point. Looking at a couple, two or three or five or maybe even 10 people over the course of the last few years versus thousands. As a matter of fact, I just read in the Washington Post that since 2010, around 30,000 lives have been extinguished at the hand of, I guess we couldn't word it any better, the Islamic State, so to speak. All right. So state, the Islamic State, because it's, after all, it's a geopolitical movement. It's shrouded in a suffering fallacy of being a religion. And then they have a right to believe it's a religion. You know, you can pray 20 times a day to facing Mecca. For all I care, I don't even care if you do it in the United States, but you just leave my teacher, leave them kids alone. You know, like, teacher, leave them kids alone, you know, in terms of Common Core and how Whitey is the development of those that were able to row over here and survive the first winter after their excursion on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Like, there are no other European immigrants, like the one that was slaughtered outside of St. Louis a few years back for looking white. All right, but I don't think he even spoke English, but that doesn't matter. All right, so I'm going to jump over here. I'm going to leave that article alone a little bit. We are going to flip over to, actually, let me get my newspaper here. See, here's a cool thing. I just wanted to kind of run through some of this stuff. And here's something that's interesting for you. A show of hands at a Donald Trump meeting, or event, rather, if you will. How bothersome is that, really, when you compare it with someone that said that, well, that was so 2 years ago in terms of Benghazi? You know, I guarantee you that Glenn Doherty's family probably is going to you know, holidays, the holidays will never be the same for that one family. See, here's the thing. Here's what separates conservatives from progressive Democrats. We have a problem when one America, it's interesting because everyone, like, cajoles around the inner onion when he says, well, you can't, the ISIS isn't going to take out the American way of life. A guy cuts a woman's head off in Oklahoma. He's not ISIS. And it's funny because I was looking that it's not really considered terror when one person, the article about the preacher that, you know, unloaded a few rounds at Capitol Hill yesterday, that particular preacher, see, it was one person, so it's not terrorism, right? So you can't strike fear into the hearts of an elderly person if you're one carjacker, right? Hey, idiots. All right, so let me see. I'm trying to remember. So let's move on here. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and stick within this article. If we move over to A as in Alpha 10 of the Thursday Washington Post. And let's go ahead and look at that really quick. I'm going to flip open to it. To A as in Alpha 10. And it says, new strain of militants hone criminality in Islamic State. New strain of militants hone criminality. Hmm. So for thousands of years, segments of Islam haven't been the problem, right? In terms of violence. All right. So, you know, so it goes on to say in Paris and other European cities targeted by the Islamic State, the shock troops used in the terrorist group's signature attacks are largely men already well known to local law enforcement, not as religious radicals, but as criminals. Here's what's interesting. The author of the article, running back to the two authors of this particular article that I mentioned earlier, they go on to say, as it has done for years in the Middle East, the Islamic State appears to be finding a fruitful recruiting ground among Europe's street gangs and petty criminals. Well, yeah, that seems to follow suit. You know, look at Farrakhan's No Justice, No Peace meeting that doubled as the signature work of a magazine, a popular magazine, actually, among liberal punk tanks. See if I can find it. Anyway, just Google cover title, No Justice, No Peace, and it'll come up with the weasel. But it's interesting because they go on to say that street gangs and petty criminals, pretty much true. These are the people here that are clamoring for a portion of the group, clamoring for taxing the 1% into oblivion. And so pretty close. That's why I alluded earlier in the program to the not so subtle differences between Islamic jihadists and Farrakhanites, if you will. But they go on to say, they say, drawing to itself legions of troubled young men and women from predominantly poor Muslim neighborhoods. Okay, so now we've got a class war going on because they're poor. What about the poor Christians that I support in Asia and Africa? My wife and I have actually adopted three children, one girl from Asia, one from Africa, and another young man from Haiti. All three are probably just uber excited to have a pencil that's been sharpened so that they can go to work and live on their couple cups of rice a day or whatever it is, and study on dirt floors. But from predominantly poor Muslim neighborhoods, they go on to say that some of these guys are just looking for an opportunity. Oh, no, wait, this is Ali Soufan, a former FBI counterterrorism official. So it stated, quote unquote, that some of these guys are just looking for an opportunity to justify their violence and criminality. What? All right, so let's move on. Here's another thing that's interesting. Jumping down a little bit in the article, it says, Islamized radicals, people from society's outer margins who feel at home with a terrorist organization noted for beheading hostages and executing unarmed civilians. Their revolt from society manifested itself through petty crime and delinquency. Well, is that kind of like the Wall Street haters that march in the United States and crapped on street corners and so forth? Petty goes on to say that men are essentially part of street gangs. What the Islamic State brought in its wake was a new strain of Islam, which legitimized their radical approach. Really? And you know, here's what's interesting. It states, the article, the author state that Belgium, they're using it, the nation, as a transit point for plots, including the attacks in Paris last fall. So basically, the Brussels and Belgium have become the sleight of hand for progressive Democrats, if you will, to make sure that your eye is not where it should be within the United States, and the fact that, you know, they didn't even look at Facebook posts for fear of offending people that don't know the difference between an invite, a friendly invite, and a dictate. So how much actual energy do you want to put into those people in the first place? Do we have to, you know, in Dearborn, kids are freaking out, their parents are freaking out because they've been told to go to church? Well, that's because they come from nations, when they're handed a piece of paper, they have to show up. Do you want that here? I really think the progressive Democrats are so slow that they're okay with dictates as long as they're able to pad their collective wallet with goodies and make sure that they get they're not nickel and dime bagged to death. All right. You know, over here, they only need a mosque and a polite imam, right, to kind of cover CYOA, cover their collective arstabila. Goes on to say their principal bond was a deepening commitment to an extreme interpretation of Islam, which they cultivated. It's so funny because we've got all these progressive Democrats in the United States. They're attempting, they've done the same thing with Christianity recently with Bernie Sanders and their beloved Barack Obama. It's interesting because what they've done is they've said that Jesus, they've unequivocally stated that Jesus was a progressive socialist. No, he wasn't. In the book of Acts, it says that Ananias and Sapphira were, Peter basically said to them in no uncertain terms that basically it was under your charge and under your control, the land, the prophets. You had a right to hold back, but don't lie about what you sold the land for. That was the kind of the gist of everything there. And they fell down dead at Peter's feet, Ananias and Sapphira, back in the book of Acts. So an extreme interpretation of Islam. So striking fear. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is that in the Quran? Give me a call at 929-477-4090 to strike fear into the heart of the unbeliever. And I'm sorry if you think I'm slower than you are, and I equate fear and terror. Oftentimes, not all the time, because I know the difference. There are differences at times. Interestingly, then these authors went on to, you know, mention Zakari and how he was a high school dropout with no formal theological training. They always talk about that. But that's been debunked already by Chris Plant and Mark Levin and others. And all right, so homegrown bombings, the migrant crisis, paint Europe as a continent in disarray, and I put continent in disarray and savagery. So it's interesting because they go on to talk about this Corrado, Parizio, Baroli. Let me go ahead and look at one thing here. One moment, please. Here we go. French Prime Minister Manuel Valls acknowledged that the threat on Wednesday, calling for sweeping new powers to be given to European intelligence agencies, and noting pointedly that Europe's wounds are at least partially self-inflicted. See, therein lies the billion-dollar answer. A trillion, no, not more than a trillion, tens of trillions. It's worth tens of trillions of dollars. Blame can never be laid on me today. That's kind of where we're at. We've become so egocentric that we foist blame on anything and everyone else other than self. And here it goes on to say that wars that Europe participated in on its periphery in the Middle East, Afghanistan and North Africa went badly awry, spawning more wars and bringing a historic number of refugees to the continent's doorstep while feeding radicalization at home. All right, so they're blaming something other than the trigger man. Just like Hillary wants gun manufacturers to be sued because some progressive Democrat gets hold of a gun and decides to take out law-abiding citizens in the United States, and so therefore, ergo, we should delve into the pocket of the firearm manufacturer rather than take it out of the hide of a devil like Dylann Roof. Hmm. Do we really need another leader that's just always about the business, always and forever about the business of blaming anything and everything but self for many of our problems? Anyway, the article goes on to state that Europe's ascendant far right, listen to this language again, Europe's ascendant far right is pushing a nationalist revival along with a return to rigid internal border controls. That, far right leaders say, is the only way to regain security following a disastrously managed refugee influx. Most war creates refugees. That is true. But what about the war on a land's inhabitants? What about the Janjaweed as it relates to Darfur? Excuse me, what about Saddam Hussein as his brutal dictates and savagery against Turkey and their people? And it's interesting because here we are again, another election cycle, clearly another election season. And it's interesting because we have more kiddies out there that just think they're smarter than everyone else. These Nazi Neanderthal children in the United States that honestly believe they know more than us. And it's interesting because they should just send some of these kids, these communist kids today, the Bernie supporter, collectively speaking, over to Turkey. Have them exhume some bodies, or graves rather, and then determine whether or not what was the cause of death, collectively speaking, in terms of weapons of mass destruction, and whether or not Saddam Hussein used weapons of mass destruction on Kurds. So exhume some graves over there and call in your CSI units, excuse me, my goodness. All right. Give me a call at 929-477-4090 because I'm going to be closing out the program here soon. But it goes on to say, but even if the borders, the author's going to say, but even if the borders are sealed, much of Europe's security problem emanates from within. Wow, they hit a nail on the head. And it sure as hell will now, based on 1 in 10, you know, a very modest framework by which to judge correctly place Islam in the scope of reality, if you will, 1 in 10 are crazy mother of Satan bomb using. And that's another thing that frightens me. I'm not even going to say this over the air, but my kids just flew here for spring break. And it's interesting because the man said to my son, son, how old are you? And he said, well, I'm 11. He goes, well, keep your shoes on then. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, oh dear Jesus, aren't there parents that truly believe the way to a better world is strapping up their children? You know, like, who is the F-tard that the rocket scientists that came up with that one, son, you're under 12, leave your shoes on. What? Okay, so there are no Palestinians that are willing to quote-unquote use lapel. To strap bombs to their children in an effort to create a Palestinian state, right? not quite sure how that works out, but and then the author's gone to say we're seeing this as part of the new normal, said Carol Lanoux, chief executive of the European Center for Policy Studies. But do we accept that this becomes part of normality? Well, yeah, I would have to say yeah, in terms of give us justice or give us peace, and the Farrakhanites of the world, and the nothing is more important than my dime bag and my new iPhone, children of America. Yep. It's going to become the new norm, unfortunately, unless God intervenes spiritually, which he's still absolutely unequivocally able to do. All right, so I think I've pretty much covered. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and flip over. One moment, please. Un momento, por favor. Here's another article in the same edition, the Thursday, March 24th edition of the Washington Post, entitled Obama Rejects Change of Strategy Against ISIS by Juliet. There's a great name, Romeo and Juliet. So she was probably the star of her class. Her sophomore class, if not her freshman class, Elperin, and David Nakamura. All right, so, all right. The article goes on to state that Obama insisted that his approach to battling the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria is showing slow, steady gains. Will hell freeze over because of global warming prior to the... prior to the apocalypse, I don't think so. But anyway, so he said slow, steady gains, and he cautioned against an overreaction to the attacks in Brussels. The administration has focused on U.S.-led airstrikes against Islamic State targets. Oh, you mean like the pilot that was burned, and the next day, that particular country, the pilot that was burned to death, the leader of that particular country led airstrikes, but yet it was U.S.-led, according to the Washington Post. And then later there were Paris attacks, and there were attacks on Russians purportedly, and Russia is still leading in Syria, as far as I'm concerned. But it's just interesting, this language again, the administration is focused on U.S.-led airstrikes against Islamic State targets. Yeah, right. Okay. So anyway, again, the man that's fond of quoting the Bible out of context on national television, which is fine. This is right. See, here's the other problem within the United States of America that I want to address, and that's that which everyone wants to look at, that which was said. But what about that which hasn't, what the unspoken component of speech? So the man fond of, which is perfectly fine, like I said, he can quote the Bible if he wants because he's not creating law after all. He's not Congress, right? But we don't need Congress anymore based on the direction this nation is headed. And you think you know better, but you'll find out differently should Jesus delay or should the Father not see fit to send his only begotten Son, in my particular opinion, individual opinion. You will see that you are wrong. And possibly, unfortunately, you know, in terms of Sharia law and tossing homosexuals from the tops of buildings in the Middle East, Asia, and Africa, what makes you think that you wouldn't be on their hit list? Oh, man. All right, so anyway, here's what's interesting, and I put this at the top of the article. Someone couldn't find his big boy pants when it came to meaningfully, you know, marching to a meaningful solidarity march after the Paris attacks. Someone couldn't find his big boy pants when it came to a meaningful solidarity march in which several world leaders, actual leaders, see, they just stand up and say, thou shalt not murder. And actually have a speechwriter work on it if you want. If you can't word it that way because it's too Jewish for you, then don't say it that way. Thou shalt not kill someone in cold blood. Don't kill. You shouldn't kill someone in cold blood. But it's simple. If you quote the Bible, you know, Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:6 is the poster child of Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama. And when really that verse is, sits nestled perfectly amongst verses 1 through 8 and speaks to sexual integrity rather than compulsion and giving. Oh my God. Like if you really want to quote the Bible every quarter or twice a year on national television, just come out and say that thou shalt not murder. Give me a call at 929-477-4090. Why won't the inner onion stand and say thou shalt not murder? Actually, probably because of this constituency would equate the statement with legislation. All right, folks, on that note, I am out. God save America, Dakota Lone Star, 40and28forever.com, and Dakota Lone Star on Facebook, and DOC_OTA Lone Star on Twitter. Ciao.